Grace and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation this afternoon is recorded for us in the Gospel according to St. John. There we hear a bit more detail about one of these interactions between Jesus and Pontius Pilate when God was on trial. And this afternoon we focus on the theme of truth. From John chapter 18 we read verses 33 through 40 as follows in Jesus' name. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" He answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. This is God's word. Will you please bow your head in prayer with me? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. My dear fellow redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, contrary to popular opinion and contrary to his own words on the matter, Pontius Pilate knew the truth. Pontius Pilate was concerned with getting the truth and finding out what the truth was. He had heard the charges that had been brought against Jesus, and he wanted to get to the truth of the matter. And so, he also spoke to Jesus directly, one-on-one, in order to find out the truth. And Pilate was no fool. He knew that Jesus had been brought to trial, had been brought before him, not because he was actually guilty of anything, but only because the religious leaders were envious of him. They were spiteful. He knew that they wanted Jesus dead, whether Jesus deserved to die or not. And so, in his mind, Pontius Pilate had already decided to let him go, as the scriptures testify to us. So then why did the truth remain locked up? Why did the truth remain on trial? Pilate had asked the religious leaders, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" And his accusers say something very puzzling at this point. They say, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have brought him before you." Well, that's pretty convenient for them, isn't it? Why is he a criminal? Because he's a criminal. That's why. Their attitude towards the rule of law seems to be guilty until proven guilty. Imagine a prosecuting attorney making this case before the jury. "Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, if the defendant is not guilty, why is he on trial in the first place? The defendant is on trial because he is guilty, and he's guilty because he's on trial." Imagine how well that case would go for him. Not much of a concern for the truth. But Pilate responds to this, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." See, it's a sort of two can play at that game situation. He's a criminal because he's a criminal. Well then, you've judged him, so you judge him. "Well, we would do exactly that," his accusers reply, "but it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." And there we're breaking through to the heart of the matter. Why do you want to put him to death? Because he's a criminal. Why is he a criminal? Because we want to put him to death. It's no wonder, amidst all this faulty logic, amidst all this circular reasoning, amidst all these false testimonies and contradictory evidence, it's no wonder that Pilate is left wondering, what is truth in the first place? There is reality, there is truth. Truth is what corresponds to reality, but the mindless mob has its own alternative reality, and it speaks its own personal truth, and the mindless mob wants Jesus dead, so that becomes their truth. So we do see a truth at work here. We see very often that which is truth becomes uncomfortable, or becomes difficult, or it becomes painful, and so the truth gets substituted with my truth, because my truth is more convenient. My truth is more palatable, it's more comfortable, it's more useful for my own purposes. My truth is preferable because it's true because I say so, without the burden of having to prove that it's true or demonstrate it. My truth proclaims that the truth is whatever I say it is, without the burden of it having to correspond to reality at all. My truth is easier on my conscience. It is more pleasant to itching ears. It's more pleasurable to itching flesh. But Pilate knew the truth. In fact, he knew God's truth. He had spoken to the truth face to face. Pilate knew the truth. He was concerned for the truth and getting to the truth. And despite asking this question, what is truth, as if he doesn't know, he then also immediately goes out and professes the truth in public before the whole crowd gathered for Jesus' trial. After asking what is truth, he then goes out and he says, I find no guilt in him. Jesus is guiltless. That's the truth, and Pilate knows it. Jesus is, in truth, not only guiltless, he is righteous. He is holy. He is as righteous and as holy as God himself is righteous and holy, because in truth, Jesus is God himself in human flesh. Pilate knew this truth, that Jesus was guiltless. He had professed this truth in public to the crowd, to history. Even our creeds today remember Pontius Pilate for doing this. He professed the truth to the world. He just didn't trust this truth. He didn't rely on this truth when the rubber met the road. He didn't live the truth. It was more convenient for Pilate to wash his hands of the truth that he knew and that he agreed to and that he professed but did not trust. The truth was important, but it was less important than the human opinions, the pressures that they put upon us. The truth was important, but it was less important than the approval of his overseers in Rome who had power over him and held his fate in their hands. The truth was important, but less important than his own reputation, his own comfort. The truth is, Pilate would much rather let Jesus die than he himself live the truth. And this is not just a fact of Pontius Pilate, it's not just a fact of history, this is a fact consistent with humanity. God's word clearly says something, and we think we know better. God tells us his clear and eternally consistent truth, the truth that created the heavens and the earth and are its very foundation, and we don't particularly like it. And so we substitute our own opinions, our own desires, our own interpretations of the truth. Or like the elephant in the living room, we just ignore it and pretend that it'll just go away. God's word tells us the truth, that God is love, and that when he tells us something is sinful, he's warning us that this is going to harm us, that this is going to harm someone else, that this is going to damage our saving relationship with him, and that it will damage our faith, that it will even destroy our faith and result in our damnation. And we keep sinning anyway. Now, this is not to say we find God's truth useless, because so often while sinning and while not living in God's truth ourselves, we still find plenty of use in God's truth in pointing out the sins of others as well. And this is not to say we don't find God's truth unimportant. It is still important, I suppose. It's just not as important as my truth. The truth is the same sinful nature that joins you and me this afternoon also joins us to Pontius Pilate, who knows the truth and does not live it. And it also joins us together with that whole mindless mob who know the truth and hate it. And it also joins us together with this whole sinful fallen world for whom even plain facts are contestable and revisable. The truth is, as it's written, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And whoever says, I know him, I know Jesus, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. Yet God's truth still remains. God's truth is that which, when you stop trusting it and you stop living it, it still doesn't go away. It is still that elephant in the living room, no matter how much we pretend it's not there, because it's not our living room, it's the elephant's living room, right? And God's truth is, the truth is not a fact. The truth is not a formula. It's not a philosophy. It's a person. A fact will not save you. Formula, philosophy, they will not save you. But a person, the person of Christ Jesus, this person will save you. This person is there for you, despite your sinfulness. As Jesus says, I am the truth. I am the way and the truth and the life. And he says, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in Jesus' word, you will know the truth because you will know Jesus. And you will find such love and forgiveness and salvation in that word, in that person, Jesus, that you will be set free. Because the truth is Jesus. It is that eternal word of God made human flesh and blood and soul in order to free human flesh and blood and soul from sin and from falsehood and from all condemnation. The word of God made man to abide with man, to forgive man, to bring salvation and life to this world. The truth is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Did you catch that truth? The truth is God does not desire to condemn you or anyone. He desires to forgive you for all your sins, to give you his own righteousness. And this is why his truth came into the world in your own human flesh and blood and soul to come to you and restore you to God. This means the eternal truth is Jesus loves you, and he loves you so much that he gave himself as the full and perfect sin offering for you, for the sins of the whole world, in order to restore you to God. As it's written, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth, yet he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement, the punishment that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. And when he paid for your sins in full with his holy precious blood and his own innocent suffering and death, God declares this eternal truth to you in his word. He says to you, he says this, remember these things because you are my servant. I formed you. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Your sins are forgiven. They are blotted out. They are dissolved like a mist by Christ's own blood. You have Christ's own righteousness by faith, so that by faith in Jesus, you are exactly as holy as Christ is in God's sight. It's not your holiness, it's Christ's. And if all your sins are gone, if they are all paid for in full and put to death, and if you have Christ's own holiness by faith as your own, then that means you can be sure in truth the judge of all declares you to be innocent, forgiven, righteous. That is the eternal verdict that he renders to you with his cross. And as often as you need to hear it again and again, he proclaims that verdict to you again and again. He renders that to you with his empty tomb, which declares to you, to the whole world, sins are forgiven, death is dead, Satan is crushed. He speaks this verdict to you again and again, as often as you need it, as often as you repent, the truth is there with you and for you, proclaiming, I forgive you all your sins. Go in peace. Go and sin no more. The truth is, God is love, and God loves you. If we have been false, then it is Jesus who is faithful and true. When you sin, God desires your forgiveness and salvation even more than you ever possibly can. When you sin, God desires not to condemn you and punish you, but to reconcile you to himself, to give you his life instead of your death, to empower you with his own word and sacraments, to restore you to heaven in the living waters of the baptismal font, to strengthen you with the very body and blood of Jesus, the very passion of Christ. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, don't sin. But if you do sin, repent and receive God's word and sacraments for your forgiveness and salvation. That is exactly what they're there for. In these means of grace, God's salvation and the knowledge of his truth are yours. The knowledge of his truth, that is the only thing that creates faith in your heart, the only thing that strengthens this faith in your heart. They are yours, and God brings his grace personally to you. He seals it upon your head and upon your heart in an everlasting covenant of water and word. Jesus unites himself personally to you, and he abides in you all the days of your life with his own holy flesh and precious blood that paid for the sins of the world. So in this season of Lent, we look ahead to the truth that is revealed to the world, that the empty tomb is empty. It was full for a very short amount of time, but now the Easter truth is that is empty. And that empty Easter tomb proclaims the truth that your sins are forgiven. Your death is dead. Christ has already overcome your death. Christ has overcome the world. Christ has crushed the head of Satan and demolished his kingdom, and he has conquered your grave in resurrection and life everlasting. That is the truth. That is the way and the truth and the life. And he is yours. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, ages unto ages. Amen. And this peace of God, which surpasses all of our human understanding, guard and keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.